Thank you, worship team. We're in a series that I've been that I simply am calling Four, and over the last few weeks, we've been talking about just becoming a people that fight for what God is for. We talked about that. You know, the world knows what the church is against, and I so want us to begin to kind of flip that and begin to let the world know what God is for, and really begin to fight for that. And of course, this morning we know He's for these graduates and. And I want to talk about that just a little bit, but here's what I know, and this is why I'm so passionate and so excited about wanting to kind of begin to be this kind of church where we're fighting for what God is for, is because I know that Jesus wants us to minimize the hypocrisy between our message and our mission. He wants us to minimize the hypocrisy between our message that we're giving to the world and our mission. Let me explain it this way. If I were to offer you this box of Krispy Kreme donuts, right? 12 fresh glazed donuts, right? Yeah, you're already salivating, right? And you would take them from me, and you would take them, and you would go to your home, and you'd put them on the counter, and then you would open the refrigerator door and get out the milk, right? And pour you a glass of cold milk, a big old glass of cold milk. It's got to be glass, right? It can't be in plastic cups. It's got to be glass because, you know, plastic cup, that's blasphemy, right? It's got to be a cold, you know, you're going to dip those donuts in there. It's going to be so awesome and you're getting so excited for it, right? And then you would sit down and you would open up the box. And imagine when you open the box, if you realize that only broccoli, that the whole box was filled with broccoli, right? Now, what would you think? What would, yeah, you say, "Money, that's a sick joke right there," right? And in that moment, my credibility, right, my integrity would be called into question. Well, there's this common criticism that goes around about the church that is somewhat valid. And that is that we say one thing and we do another. You know, people will say, "Oh man, they're so hypocritical." And I get that. And let me just say, we're not perfect, right? I think we all understand that. We're not perfect. But when we tell the watching world that God loves you, and so do we got to back that up. We got to back that up. We have to minimize the hypocrisy between our message and our mission, because there's so much at stake, too much at stake not to do that. It's all about getting real, being authentic, being who you say you are, and living as God calls us to live. It's all about getting real. Everybody say this. Everybody say, "Get real." That's pretty good. Let's try that again. One, two, three, get ready. One, two, three.
Get
real. Yeah, get real. Get real. That's what God is calling us to. That's what He is for. Those people who are authentic when it comes to living out their faith. It's all about getting real, and that's the truth. And sometimes we just need to hear the truth, and God's Word gives us the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says this: "We refuse to wear masks and play games. We do not maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's Word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to see can, and they can judge for themselves in the presence of God." That's what I want to see happen in the church. That's what I want to see happen in this generation, in this class of 2021. That's what I want to see happen in my life. I shared with you a few weeks ago that this generation here that's graduating today is called Generation Z. And as I've walked with them through this time in their lives, what I've come to see really about this whole generation, that there's never been more potential in a generation than in this generation right now. The potential in their hearts and in their lives for greatness is really something that you need to see and be around, because the way they dream and the way they think in their hearts, I've really never seen anything like this over the last several years. But at the same time, At the same time, we live in a world and in a time that there's never been more uncertainty. I mean, there's a battle going on. There's a battle for this generation's heart. There's all this potential, right? But also so much uncertainty. And so this morning, I want to help this generation to quit playing games and take off the mask and see God's call on their lives and see what God has planned for them. But I also realize we are all in the same boat. A lot of things that are affecting this generation are also affecting all of us. It makes sense to say that they are the product of us because they are our children, right? But their influence on us, on our music, in the culture, the way we spend money, the way we spend our time, we are being affected by this generation as well. And so as adults, right, some of us are wearing some of the same mask that they are wearing. And so my prayer as I kind of talk to these guys specifically and to us as well, my prayer is that their generation, really that all of us, will be challenged today. That today God will do something great, not only in your lives, guys, but also in all of our lives as well. Because if we're not careful, and if we're honest sometimes, our lives are a masquerade, right? We wear masks. And we shouldn't be surprised, because look at what 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says. It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." We have a deceiver whose strategy is to masquerade. And he wants to tempt us to wear masks and masquerade the way we live our lives. And so, at the beginning this morning, I want us just to kind of look at what is behind the mask that we are wearing. What is behind the masquerade or the mask that we're wearing as this generation, as a culture, as a people? The first is this. We are the most connected, yet most isolated people in the history of mankind. Never has there been a generation more connected than us, right? I mean, you just think about social media. You got Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and YouTube. You know, our phones. We're tied to those phones. So connected, right? So connected. But at the same time, we're more isolated than we've ever been. A statistic just came out saying 95%, and I think it's really almost 100%, of teenagers say they are overwhelmed. They don't know how to handle the stress that's on them. So connected with people all around them, but they just don't know where to turn. In 2018, there were three pastors that committed suicide, almost kind of back to back to back, and I didn't know them personally, but just the hearing that and the understanding that began to speak into my heart about what is going on, right? What is going on? And then this last year, two young women took their lives that we were very close to, and I just hurt in my heart. The report says that one out of four young people under the age of 30 considered suicide in 2020. One out of the 10 of the rest of us. Divorce filings up 20%. Antidepressant meds up 300%. Social skills, conflict resolution, patience at all time low. And here's what I know. We are connected, but at the same time, we are losing or failing to develop meaningful relationships. And that's happening for all of us. And I think especially in this generation. And here's our warning from God. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped." And I just begin to pray and want to encourage all of us to begin to pray and just say, "Lord, help us. Help us to make a difference in our generation. Help us to make a difference in those who are struggling with anxiety and depression and suicide. So connected, but so isolated." so isolated. The other thing that's behind the mask is that, and I've shared this with you before, we are so cause-driven, yet also self-consumed. I mean, this generation is so passionate about touching others with their lives. And I love this about this generation. I think it's one of, and I've said it before, I think it's one of your greatest strengths. You really are. You're the most cause-driven, mission-minded generation in modern history. And I believe it's a gift from God. I believe it's a gift that He's given you to the world. There's something in you that says, we've got to make a difference. And you can really feel that inside of you. In fact, most of you don't want to have just a job to make money. You want to have a job that is something you enjoy and makes a difference. You want a cause. You're so cause-driven, and you're a cause-driven, as I've said before, mission-minded generation. And the problem is that Satan is trying to talk you out of living for your cause today and telling you, you know, that real life starts later. Here's my verse for you. Paul, as he was mentoring Timothy, said this. He said, hey, don't be afraid. In 2 Timothy, he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for all the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul's telling us all, I think, don't let anyone talk you out of doing what God has called you to do today. You know, here's your call. Set an example for all believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. I just think about, you know, this generation, those 20s and 30s and you guys here that are graduating today. Just think about you and all that you do and all that you want to do. I think about my own sons. My youngest son has been to Nepal and to Costa Rica and to Malaysia twice on mission trips, right? And we have had so many students that have been on mission to Africa and China and Guatemala. So many causes, right? So many causes. But at the same time, our culture has never been more self-consumed. Investing in helping people, but so self-consumed. Time magazine just said that more people bought themselves a gift in honor of their mother on Mother's Day than ever before. You know, with all the social media boom, millions of people are online and all they are doing are talking, just talking about themselves. There's this sense of entitlement. People believe that they're owed something because they're so great that, you know, that somebody else owes them something. There's a decline in patriotism, a lack of interest in the collective good, and a focus on what is in it for me. And you have to be very careful. Proverbs 16:18 says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Cause-driven, but so self-consumed. And probably the most important is what's behind the mask is that we're so spiritual, yet confused. You know, people are looking for spiritual answers, but they're not necessarily looking for the truth. And the reason is probably because the truth is hard, right? It hurts. It's not easy. It's much easier to seek a spiritual experience than it is to seek real truth and be changed. I mean, there are a lot of spiritual answers that have nothing to do with the truth of Jesus Christ. So many would say that for this day and age in which we live, that there is no absolute truth. And almost everybody, we see it on TV, we see it in our music, in the movies, the internet is attacking the absolute truth of God's Word, attacking Christian values, that there even is a right or a wrong. One author wrote that America has become a nation of almost Christian. And that's a scary thought, because there's no such thing as an almost Christian. And that's what they say America is becoming. Colossians 2:8 says, "Do not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and a high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ." And that's where we are, right? That's where we are in 2021. That's the crossroads that we're standing at. You know, we have one path. We can take the world's path, right? The path of masquerading and hiding behind masks and not being real, not being authentic. Or we can choose God's path. And if we anchor into His path, well, then you won't be taken away so easily and be deceived. Joshua 24:15 says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And then he says this, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's the urgency, right? That's the urgency I feel today, especially for this class right here, but really for all of us, for all of us. Choose this day who you are going to serve, God's way or the world's way. And we need to take off the mask and choose whom we will serve. And this is the reason. Philippians 2:15 says, "So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." And that's my prayer for this class of 2021. That's my prayer for all of us, that we would choose to become blameless and pure in the middle of a generation that knows nothing about the things of God, so that we can be different and shine like the stars in the universe. So this morning I want to give you guys, I want to give all of us four ways to shine like the stars and really to get real, to begin to live that authentic faith out. Because I don't know where you are today. Maybe you walk in here and you feel isolated. Or maybe you feel that tendency to be self-consumed. Or maybe you're feeling the confusion that comes from spiritual answers that lack the truth. But I believe that if we, the church, will take these four challenges, that God can do something great in our church, in our lives, and in this generation. So let's take off the mask and shine. The first way I think we do this is that we own our own faith. You own your faith. The status quo really is not to live by faith, but to live by sight, right? And even as Christians, we're lured into living for the moment. Whatever is in front of us that we can see with our eyes. And sometimes that plays out in traditions, like living out our faith by following traditions or rules. Those things that we can touch and feel. And those things aren't necessarily wrong, but it doesn't take faith because we can see them and touch them. Look at what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And we've heard this verse, right? All the time we hear this verse, but have you really grabbed it? Have you really made it your own? God has called us to own our own faith. To have a faith in God that we cannot see. We don't live by what we can see or touch or feel in that moment, but we live by the unseen. Faith really means complete trust, complete confidence, complete dependency on our God, no matter what. That's owning our faith. And what's so amazing to me is all the intangibles that are worth living for that come not by sight, but by faith. So many verses that tells us what comes by faith, by living by what we cannot see. Righteousness, peace, joy, abundant life, hope, purpose. You see, to live without faith is the natural life, but to live with faith, that's supernatural. That if we live by faith, that those intangibles that we want so much, the supernatural thing, the things that passes all of our understanding, right? Unconditional love, peace that passes our understanding, joy, faithfulness, self-control come flowing into our lives. I think about in my own life, you know, there's moments in my life where I just don't think I can, you know, do something in my own strength. Really, every Sunday morning before I walk out here, I really, you know, feel like, okay, God, I don't know if I can really do this. God, you got to be with me. And I've shared with you before, I've got a sign right over the door there that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just kind of hold on to that. And by faith, step out. And my God is faithful. I remember when my dad passed away and I was, you know, going to have to do the funeral and speak, you know, for my dad, and how I just really didn't want to, you know, I didn't really want to do that. I just wanted to sit in my grief and in my loss. But I knew that, you know, I needed to share his story. And so by faith, I just stepped forward. Even in the starting of this church, Kim and I knew that this was not something we can do in our own strength. We could do in our own strength. And we just kind of battled God with the decision, and it just finally, it was by faith that we took a step. Listen, the moment you own your own faith and say, God, I can't do this in my own strength, He is faithful. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. If we choose to live by faith and not by sight, if we trust, have confidence, and complete dependency on God, is it easy? No. Is it real? Yes. And your life will begin to shine in this generation. The second thing that we need to take off the mask and shine is we need to value others. You guys need to value others. 1 Peter 2:17 says, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Honor others above yourself. It's not an option. But we live in a culture that dishonors others. I mean, we can turn on the TV and it's all about, you know, dishonor and who can dishonor the loudest. It's hard, but God gives us no option. He calls us to honor one another. And I think this generation needs this more than ever. I mean, just think, just in your own mind, fill in the blank, this sentence for you. It's hard for me to honor my... And then just fill in what that is for you. Listen, when Jesus went to the cross and died for us, we didn't deserve honor. He chose to honor us and ask us to follow His example. And so when we lose honor, we lose true connection. We don't value others. And when we do that, we begin to lose the value in ourselves as well. Philippians 4:8 and 9 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. When we begin to look for the best in other people, God begins to develop the best in us. And when we live that way, when we begin to live that way, we will shine. You will shine in this generation. And God will use you. God will use us in a very profound way. The third is this. Do what you are called to do. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. You see, the work of the cross gives us access to live out what God wants us to do. So focus on your calling. It's what He redeemed us for. Nothing in life is worth living unless you're pursuing God's call through the way He has made us. Money doesn't satisfy. Fame doesn't satisfy. The American dream doesn't satisfy. There's something deeper that satisfies, and that's God's calling. And every one of us, He has a unique calling that fits our shape. He redeemed you to live out what He has planned for you to do. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." To this you were called. I believe God has planted in each of us the seeds of a divine destiny. And I believe once you grab hold of the concepts of a divine destiny, there's no stopping you from wholeheartedly embracing the crucified life that God has called you to live. And each of us is in the process of working out our calling in everyday life. Sometimes you feel like you're overlooked by most people in your life, but listen, God has picked you out from the foundations of the earth. And He has had His eye on you when you were in middle school, right? Awkwardly growing, you guys, awkwardly growing your under your armpit hair. I mean, He was with you then, right? Shaping you, forming you, and creating experiences and relationships in your life, bringing you to a place where He could pour out His, you know, pour out His glory on you and on this earth, pour you out for His glory. And so how do we step into that life that God has called us to? How can we find that hero within us to begin to live out the unique, different, original life He has called us to? And when we talk about the call, I want us to understand that if we are followers of Christ, every one of us have a call. And every heroic life begins with the call. And I think sometimes in the Christian arena, too many times when we talk about a call, it only applies to the person, you know, on this side of the stage. And it applies that we are the only ones who get a call and everybody else is left just to wander through life without any sense of a call. But listen, every one of us are being called out to live that unique life that's special, that's extraordinary to you. You are uniquely shaped to live out this call, His call. And of course, the call begins when you come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of His call in your life. The tragedy comes not whether or not He has called you. The tragedy comes if you miss it. You know, just think about my life and God's call on my life. And even as a young man, as I stepped into college and how He called me just to, you know, to live out my faith and to own my faith and, you know, to begin to share in Bible studies on campus. And then in when I went into business as a young man, His call was still there. You know, Monty, share my word. Share my love with those around you. And then when Kim and I surrendered, as people would say, when Kim and I went into full-time ministry, you know, it was a different call on our lives, right? He had called us into, you know, this full-time. And I had somebody come up to me, a friend come up to me, right when we entered into full-time, you know, we were doing this full-time. And he said, when did you surrender to the ministry? He couldn't believe we were doing what we were doing. When did you surrender to the ministry? And I began to think about that, and I began to think, I don't think I surrendered, right? I mean, there was never a gun at my head. God never came up to me and said, I want you over here. I think sometimes God was even hoping that I'd quit volunteering, right? I mean, you know, like He was saying, you know, look, man, if you don't want to go, don't go. You're not all that anyway, right? But I just kept being available. I just kept volunteering. And every time I got an opportunity to experience God, whether it was on a youth trip or a mission trip or teaching a Bible study or speaking, I would just volunteer and say, yeah, I'll go. I'm available. And I think all through my life, my biggest fear was that people would see my knees shaking behind this pulpit, which is not here, or see me sweating or hear my voice squeak. And my early prayers were, God, hold my knees sturdy, steady. God, don't let me squeak. God, help me not be boring. God help everybody, you know, be able to understand this accent and my words. And I know. I get it. I should have been praying more spiritual stuff, right? Like, change people's lives, God. Don't let me mess up your word. But I really just didn't want to be boring. And that's what my goal is, really to articulate God's word in a way that people can understand, that people can put into action. And so this friend said to me, well, you know, Monty, I understand, I can understand Kim being called into the ministry, but I don't know about you. I mean, what are you going to do, right? Are you sure? And the crazy thing about it is I agreed with the guy, right? I mean, God never saw me and went, wow, you are impressive, Monty. I just started looking for where God was already working, and I would just jump in. And that's what he's calling you to be available to him, to use your unique shape. You don't have to be the most talented or gifted person. You don't have to measure up to other people's expectations. That's what's so great about being just a person that is available and wants to volunteer, because that's what you are. You just want to serve. Scripture tells us that our desires are a great compass for God's calling on our life. Psalms 37:4 says this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And this is Monty's translation. Love God and do what you want. Love God with all your heart, you know, with everything that you are, and go and pursue your dreams. But make sure God is at the center of your dreams. Sometimes we get it wrong, right? We do. I mean, I thought I was supposed to be a great college football player. Wrong, right? I was wrong. I thought I would coach football. I was wrong. I thought I would go on mission, you know, in a foreign country, and, you know, Kim would take care of the people, and I would help grow the food. I was wrong. I thought, and you're not going to believe this, I thought I could be a singing preacher. And the great thing about our God is He don't get angry. He says, go ahead. I mean, that takes courage, Monty, right? I wouldn't sing if I sang like you, but go ahead. Sometimes we just have to get banged around a little bit, right? And let God reshape our desires through our experiences so that our desires match how God shaped us. Jeremiah 1:4-5 says, this is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Listen, there are different places where our calling is formed and different contexts where God speaks to us. But ultimately, your calling from God is formed in eternity. And although God calls you through your shape, your spiritual commitment, your heart's passion, your abilities, your place in life, through your experiences, ultimately, what God does is that He calls you. He calls you. Because you are uniquely shaped. And only you can live the story and the life that God has called you to. Before you were born, He knew you. While you were in the womb, He called you out. You were on the mind of God before you took your first breath. You are the imagination of God, wrapped up in skin. And when you begin to live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you come alive and you hear His call, and you begin to live out your call to a unique life. Just do what you're called to do. Don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get derailed. Do what you're called to do. Stay focused. Stay faith-filled. Stay hope-filled. Do what you're called to do. Don't compare. Don't compete. Don't quit. Do what you're called to do. And then finally, in order to take off the mask and really begin to be real and to shine, you got to live to lead. Live to lead. Listen, God didn't allow His Son to die on the cross and be resurrected and sending His Holy Spirit for you and I to be a follower of the crowd. The power of God lives inside of you, and you need to live to lead. So many of you say, you know, I want to change the world, right? Well, then lead and do that. We believe in you, right? God's calling in your life can be lived out in a way that you can lead your generation and impact this world in a powerful way. Philippians 4:13 again says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Tebow didn't write that verse, right? God said that. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do anything you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it. He does it by not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit, deeply and gently within us. So graduates, God wants to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Mom and Dad, God wants to do immeasurably more in your life and through your life than you can possibly imagine. Your biggest dream doesn't even touch His dream for your life. If we will live to lead, God will do some incredible things, and we will shine like the stars in the generation. So let's take off the mask, and let's get real, and let's begin to shine. Because God is for us. God is for you. I close with this story about the missionary A.W. Milne. He was a part of the one-way missionaries, and these guys went to countries knowing that likely they would never return home. That's why they were called one-way missionaries. And Milne went to a tribe of headhunters in New Hebrides, which is right outside off in the islands off of Scotland, where all former missionaries had been killed. However, he felt called to go, and he obeyed. And he had lived among the tribe for 35 years. And never returned home. And when the tribe buried him, they wrote the following on his epitaph, on his tombstone. The following epitaph on his tombstone. He said, when he came, there was no light. And when he left, there was no darkness. What a way to live with an eternal perspective in mind. And that's what I want for us here this morning. That's what I want for you guys. That wherever God takes you into this world, places where there will be no light, that you will own your faith, that you will value others, that you will live out your unique calling and live to lead. And when you leave there, there will be no darkness. So let's take off the mask. Let's get real. Let's be authentic when it comes to our faith, so that Philippians 2:15 says you may become blameless and pure, a children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you will shine like the stars in the universe. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for the blessing of these students in our lives, Father. I thank you for the way that you have uniquely shaped them, God. My prayer, Father, is for them to take that unique shape that you have created them in, Father, with their spiritual gifts, their passions, Father, their experiences, their abilities, their personality, that God, they would take that and just be available to you and to your call on their life. that wherever they are, Father, they might not try to hide any thing behind masks, but they take them off, God, and be real and authentic and just shine wherever you call them to, wherever you place them, Father. They would shine and share your love and your joy, your strength with the world around them. God, it's my prayer that each of us in this room would follow your call on our lives. God, we really begin to own our own faith and come into a personal forever relationship with you, God, that makes a difference in our lives and the way that we live and the things that we do. That God, as we begin, as a people of God, begin to value others and honor them, Father, and reach out with your love in their lives, Father, that they would see that we're different. And they would desire to know you as their Lord and Savior as we do, Father. God, you would give us the strength, each one of us in this room, to do what we're called to do. To be available to your Holy Spirit's leading, to live out our faith in a way that makes a difference, to be real, to be authentic, to take off our mask, and to shine in this world that you have called us to for such a time as this, O God. So, Father, we seek your blessings. We seek your presence. Be with this graduating class, God. Use them to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.